Matthew 13, well, we're reading the first 23 verses. Verse 1 of chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh a wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and if he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. The precious word of the living and the true God, Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ sits down in order to teach. It was a normal position that a teacher would take. He does this in chapter 5, as many people come to him, multitudes come to him, and he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. Jesus sits down to teach. Everybody else stands. It's a good way to stay awake, but it's also the way that it was done. But Jesus doesn't have a major stadium to speak into. There are some people that think that there was a particular place where the land was so oriented that it was a little bit like an amphitheater right in front of the water, so that if Jesus was there, he would be able to be heard by many. But in any case, that's the point. Jesus going out into this boat, he wants to be heard by many. This is the time when Jesus begins to teach the crowds. And this parable is actually told to the crowds. It's designed for us to hear and to receive its application to ourselves. Other times in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus has been talking about things that are fulfilled in John the Baptist. The Gospel of Matthew tells us many things that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In Matthew 10, Jesus begins to talk about his disciples in particular. But now, Jesus is speaking generally to a large group of people, and we are included. We are people who are hearing this parable of the soils. He spake many things unto them in parables. Jesus spoke many things. These parables are a representative group of them. This is what the Holy Spirit has designed for us to hear in what Jesus taught. And the word parable is actually a word that's used in Psalm 78 in verse 2. It's a word that is describing something that is a story that has a concrete point of reference so that you might understand something that is spiritual. So you might understand something that's abstract. So Jesus talks about one of the most concrete and ordinary examples that can be found. Someone putting seed out to grow something in the ground. Now Donovan, I didn't ask him how to tell this, but you could see from the title, Testing Soils. Donovan was doing soil testing this summer. Testing soils for the purpose of seeing if the soil was actually able to support a foundation. He can tell you about some of the conversations that he had with construction managers about that whole idea. But Jesus is talking about a different type of testing of soils. The type of testing that he can give. The type of awareness that he has. Jesus actually outlines different responses to the word of the kingdom. Jesus outlines responses to the parables that he's teaching. Jesus is actually giving us a show and tell. He's actually demonstrating in his teaching the reality of what he's teaching about. People are hearing these parables, and some people are responding one way, and other people are responding another way. And he says, this was all prophesied in Isaiah. This is what Jesus Christ is doing. He's accomplishing something spiritual. He is revealing and concealing as he tells these stories. The pictures of a farmer scattering seed while walking through the field. We might think that this is an inefficient way of doing it. Well, why don't you just dig a row and plant seed that way? But this was a quick way to get the seed out. This was the way it was done. And as you walk through a field and you scatter seed, it's going to fall in different places. And Jesus tells this parable. He says that some of the seed, when this sower is casting out seed, fell by the wayside, and birds came and ate the seeds. Obviously, they didn't sink into the ground. They weren't reaching any place where they were going to grow. The birds came and ate them right away. This is the heart of it, Jesus says, when he explains the parable. In verse 20, he says, he that received the seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. I'm sorry, back up. Verse 19, when one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. In other words, the bird represents the devil. And when the word of God is heard, it falls on such stony ground, such a hard heart, that Satan can quickly snatch it away. You see, Satan doesn't want any time for people to actually welcome and take the word into themselves, that they might be spiritually changed. He would rather just snatch it away. So that's what he seeks to do. And lo and behold, when he has an opportunity, when he comes across a hardened heart. So then Jesus goes on to the next example, and he tells about some seed falling upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Stony places. There's an underlying level of bedrock. It's not deep ground, but you can dig down and you can find fertile soil as far down as you dig. You hit rock. It's a stony place. This is not great soil to be growing something. And so there's no depth. This is the problem with a person who has not the hardened heart, but the shallow one. The heart that does not have any depth and understanding of the word that has been received. The word is received, but it's received on a very shallow level. So then what happens? Well, Jesus explains in verse 20, he says, "He that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, it hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." This is the shallow person, the person who receives the word of God, but doesn't understand that persecution and tribulation will come. That there are going to be hard times for people that hold fast to Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ says in another place to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. In the world you will have tribulation, he says. And this is part of the reality that he unpacked for his disciples in chapter 10. But the shallow reception of the word is, that's good news. I'm happy because my sins have been proclaimed to be forgiven. I do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who rules my life, who guides me through times of persecution. When other people start to criticize me, I simply follow them. The shallow heart. So there's the hard heart that resists the word, that never actually takes it in, and Satan just snatches it away. And then there's the shallow heart that cannot endure in times of persecution. And then Jesus goes on and tells another part of this story. He says, "Some fell upon thorns," in verse 7, "and the thorns sprung up and choked them." What does that mean? Well, Jesus explains. Verse 22, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Notice what Jesus says. He's no longer talking about seeds, is he? He says, "He becometh unfruitful." He's talking about people. This whole idea of talking about different types of soils, he's talking about different responses that people have. And there are people. You know some of them. You might be one of them. We're overcome with care. Care. Worry. Anxiety. You might think, okay, anxiety is just part of being in the world. But I want you to think about it this way. Suppose you have to take a test in math. And there's somebody among us who knows how to navigate those tests. But perhaps you're not that type of person. You are filled with anxiety about this test. I have to figure out how to do these problems. I don't see the problem. I won't know the problems until I get the test. I can't take this test. And you tell yourself that for a solid week before the test. And the test comes and you're paralyzed with worry. And the problems that you knew how to do, you can't even remember how to do because you're so consumed with worry. This is how it happens. This is how receiving the word gets strangled, choked out by thorns, and one of them being care. Now, of course, the other way of approaching it is to practice doing the problems until you know the principles. Until you know that you know the principles of doing those particular problems. And as you do those problems, you begin to understand the principles and you realize that I can approach any problem. I don't need to see the problem ahead of time because I know how to tackle it. Now, it's really easy for people that are gifted in math, but Jesus is talking about something that we know impacts us. Worry, anxiety, care. It impacts the way that we do lots of things. It impacts the way we drive. It impacts the way that we interact with coworkers. It impacts the way we interact with family members. Care, worry, anxiety. It's a part of our lives. But Jesus is saying that if you want to receive the word, if the word is going to be received and welcomed by you, those thorns are going to choke you. And the other type of thorn, the other way that the word of God gets strangled or choked is, as Jesus outlines in verse 22, the deceitfulness of riches. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. I have so many things that I'm so consumed by. Making enough money is one of them. The care of this world involves many other things. And I'm so consumed and distracted by them that I can't receive the simple message of the one who shepherds me and cares for my soul. In the way that Jesus outlined in Matthew 5 to 7. In the way that he explained to us, as he told us to look at the birds of the air and look at the lilies of the field. It's the deceitfulness of riches. I think that it's something that I have to work for and strive for, but it's actually strangling my relationship with Jesus Christ. The person who's consumed by care, the person who's consumed by the deceitfulness of riches, finds that the word is choked. It's the same word. It's the same message. But in some people, it falls on stony ground. And Satan snatches it up. Some people have a shallow heart. They're not ready for persecution or those bad days. Other people are strangled by the things that are deep down in their hearts, the things that they really are drawn to. Care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And Jesus actually says, when he explains the purpose of the parables, that it is given to some to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to others it is not given. He says in verse 12, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them, people that do not understand, is fulfilled the pattern of the ministry of Isaiah." Isaiah was to speak to people that would not receive the message. "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand," notice, "with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Because the first thing that a modern person is going to say is, well, if they don't understand, then that's an educational problem. You haven't downloaded enough information for them. It's your fault. You haven't downloaded enough information. You need to educate them. But Jesus isn't saying that this is an educational problem. He's not saying it's an information problem. He says it's an orientation of the heart. It's a moral issue. There are some people that are unwilling to hold on to Jesus Christ through times of persecution. There are some people that are unwilling to release riches that they might have Jesus. A rich young ruler. Remember what happened? He went away sad because he had great riches. And he didn't want to give them up. He chose riches over Jesus on that day. What Jesus is talking about is a moral orientation of the heart. Essentially, an idol. Essentially, something that we cling to that makes us soil that cannot grow into fruitful service in the kingdom of God. If that was the end, we would all despair. But Jesus isn't done. Jesus talks about something else. Jesus begins to unpack something that is addressing all of the issues that we've already seen. But first of all, there's the internal issues, the hardness of heart, the shallow heart, or the heart that is strangled by things that they're attached to. But then there's the outside issues, Satan, persecution, riches, all of this coming from the outside. If we have these heart problems on the inside and we have all of these external things going on, Satan, persecution, riches, combined with hardness or a shallow heart or a heart that's strangled, how can we bear fruit? And if Jesus is telling these parables specifically so that some people won't understand and turn to him, then how is it our fault? But Jesus outlines for us something remarkable when he begins to talk about the good ground. Verse 8. He says that some of the seed fell into good ground. Ground that's not too shallow. Ground that's not too hard. Ground that is ready to receive the seed. Ground that is ready, a heart that is ready to receive the word. A heart that welcomes the word. A heart that embraces the word. A heart that is drawn to the word. That is drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, as he explains the parable in verse 23, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. In Genesis 26, there's a time when Isaac plants a field in it and it gives 100-fold. That's a great yield. But the concern is just fruitfulness. God is the one who decides 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. The idea is being one who is fruitful and responds. How does that happen? Well, if we were to look earlier in the scriptures, if we were to consider this image of what is happening with this good soil, we wouldn't have to look too far. We would see in Jeremiah 4, verse 3, the Lord speaking to Judah and Jerusalem and saying this, Jeremiah 4, verse 3, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. God is talking to people. He's talking to people and he says, prepare your hearts. Now we understand what John the Baptist is talking about when he says, to get ready, because the king is coming. Prepare. Receive. This is one of the ways. Ask these questions. Am I hardened to the word of God? Am I a shallow person? Am I unwilling to endure persecution for Jesus? Do I worry constantly about certain aspects of this world? What captures my thoughts? Am I drawn to riches so much that I choose them deliberately above Jesus Christ at times? Or am I happy to receive the word of God? Am I thankful and committed to steadfastly obeying? I think those are good questions. It was part of a sermon that I listened to on this passage. But it captures what's in this passage. It captures the idea that we are not just simply passive soil. We are people who can actively be plowing in our hearts by asking questions that cause us to realize our standing before God. And every time you find out that you're hardened, just a sitting duck for Satan, the desire is to have your ground broken up, to be made ready to receive the word of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. The Holy Spirit is designed, you see, to bring you to a different place spiritually, to bring you to the place where you're able to be fruitful. Can soil be changed? Can people's hearts be changed? Yes. That's what Jesus is talking about when he talks about people resisting in verse 15. They close their eyes so that they don't see and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted. They don't want to be converted. The key is to want what Jesus preaches, what Jesus is telling you. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to cause hardened soil to be made good soil. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to make shallow soil into deep soil. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to clean out the thorns. But if people with machines and with time and sweat can do it, with soil, you know that the Holy Spirit can do it with hearts. And so you see the signs in your heart. You see the signs in someone else's heart. How do you respond? And remember this principle. Isaiah 55, verse 10. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word is powerful. It's able to accomplish it. It's able to effectively till up the ground in our hearts and make us those who are fruit-bearing, who receive and welcome the word of God. And what does that look like from our side? Here's what the word of God says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Word of God actually tells you. God's Word is effective. And then it tells you in Psalm 1, meditate on it. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we are reading page after page in the Gospel of Matthew. Meditate, meditate, meditate. That you might grow deeper. That your ground, the ground of your heart might be softened. That the thorns might be cleaned out. That you might have deep, rich soil for the seed of the Word of God to sink down into and cause it to grow. And this is an organic principle that you have benefited from every single day of your life. Because if you didn't eat something today, you probably ate something yesterday. I was born through this process. And Jesus is saying, that food that you put in your mouth, that was grown because of fruitful soil, that's an illustration of the spiritual work that the Holy Spirit is doing in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls today. When people begin to respond to the Word of God, when people welcome it, when they begin to be thankful for it, when they look forward to hearing it, when they realize that they need to have their ground tilled up in their hearts, there are thorns in the way, I need to get rid of those. I need to get deeper. I need to be willing to endure persecution for Jesus. I need to have a few more seconds that the Word of God would sink into me before Satan snatches it away in the middle of the worship service. And you begin to realize those things. You're beginning to desire for your heart to be changed. And when that happens, it's game over for Satan. It's game over for persecution. They can't burn it away. It's game over for riches. They can't stop. What happens on the inside of a person was oblivious to all that. And it's just simply going to grow. You all know the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, right? Big magical beanstalk. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. This is a fairy tale. Did you know that there are people that respond to the Word of God and the increase of their fruitfulness is 34, some 60, some 100? The same word, because it sinks down deep into a heart that the Holy Spirit has prepared. And that's what we need. We need for the Holy Spirit to change us.